Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth with Pastor Stephen Kyle from Highland Park Baptist Church. And we are right in the middle of your context series on Wednesday nights. How are you liking that series? You like doing this? You like doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, it's, I like going verse by verse.
Yeah.
So this doesn't really lend itself to do that, but I mean, I do verse by verse as far as, Let me find a passage of scripture that is so often used out of context, and then let's look at it within the context of a chapter or several verses. So it's expository in nature. It's just not verse building upon verse in a particular book of the Bible.
Nice.
So that's my preference. I like to do it that way, but you know, it's good to do these, as long as they're scripture building on scripture, versus I'll pull a verse from here and I'll pull a verse from there and I'll pull a verse from here and pull a verse from there.
Well, people seem to like the context series.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of good conversations about it.
Can
you tell us where you're going next on Wednesday nights? Do you know that? Like, you want to let that cat out the bag?
There's a couple of things I'm looking at. One that I definitely know I'm going to do, and I don't know if I'm going to do it this week or when, is the verse from, you know, scripture from Acts where it says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins.
Mm.
So pulled out of context, basically folks say, well, you got to be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. And you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Forget about the Great Commission, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you pull that out of context, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So I think we'll deal with that. And, you know, there's a few others that we will probably deal with before it's all said and done.
So after context, you got to.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know yet?
I don't really know.
All right. I was just curious. Yeah.
Now, you know,
trying to give a little preview to the people.
Yeah, I know where we're going. I know where we're going on Sundays after Daniel. We'll roll into Revelation.
Yeah.
So we'll be Daniel Revelation for quite some time. And there might be a few standalones in there, depending on what time of the year it is. And usually around Christmas, I try to focus a little bit on the Christmas story. but sometimes where you are in the book kind of lines up with that. As long as you make it all about Jesus, then Easter and Christmas all line up.
There you go.
So I don't know. Context is cool. You could probably do a whole year's worth on context if
probably
you want
to. Yeah. There's a lot
But then you have to be careful because in your context series, you can start pulling stuff out of context to make it out of context.
Yeah. How's your summer going, man? We haven't talked about summer stuff in a while because we're so busy, but
we've not. Like everybody else, busy. A little different this year. Of course, my girls are adults, and they don't live at home, and so they have their jobs that they do. And the baby is 17; he'll be a senior this year, and he's gotten a little part time job, so he's working a lot this summer, bussing tables over at one of our local seafood restaurants. And so he's gone a lot, and so a lot of nights when we're there, it's me and the wife and the dog, or he'll come rolling in, or you know what happens around here a lot as well is, you know, summertime we have a lot of friends and family that want to come in from out of town and spend time at the beach, and so you're hosting them, and so we've done that. We've done some traveling. Actually, have a big trip that's coming up in August to Kenya. For a week and a half. So we'll be training pastors over there. We've got about 450 pastors that have signed up to come in for a 3-day pastoral training.
Wow.
And then there's a mission, an orphanage mission that we will work with there.
Oh, wow.
So we'll fly Ethiopian Air. Was able to secure 3 first-class tickets for about $300 on Ethiopian Air. Yeah, I told Jennifer, I mean, maybe holding chickens. We'll do that throughout Ethiopia.
An international flight for first class for $300.
Not from here to Ethiopia. While we're in Ethiopia, we'll fly from Nairobi to another city there. No, the flights from here to there are very expensive, and they're on. When we're in Kenya, we're flying Kenyan Air.
Okay.
But we are flying from Atlanta, Ethiopian Air.
Okay.
And they're very expensive, but they're cheaper than any American carrier.
Yeah.
So Ethiopian Air, Kenyan Air, my wife's is a little concerned about, because you don't really hear a whole lot about those airlines.
Right.
Anyway, it fits the budget.
Faith in action right there.
Faith in action. That's right. Faith in action. And so she's going, and the 17-year-old's going to go with us too.
That'll be good.
So
that'll be good.
Be good. He's never done a mission trip before outside of the United States, so we had to get his passport, and we had to get all that other kind of stuff.
That's
to
be almost able as to, much as a plane ticket too.
They're expensive. Passports are, and so it worked well though. We're looking forward to it, and while we're there, we'll take 2 days and we'll go to a preserve. And a safari preserve. Now, there's a difference.
Yeah.
When a lot of folks think of safari, they're like, you're going to kill a big animal and bring it back. No, this would be a safari. You can't kill them. And I believe in Kenya, you're not even allowed to kill the animals, if I remember correctly. So we'll get to go and see them, but we're not doing any hunting, which I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So look forward to that. I really look forward to the training of the 450 pastors, and it's me and a couple of other pastors that are doing it, and so it'll be a good time to be able to invest in those guys. And it's kind of neat because a lot of them are coming from African countries that are Muslim that would never allow us to come in, but they're going to come to Kenya.
Yeah,
and the Kenyan nation is their president is a Christ follower, and so. Wow. He is the one that has invited us to come in.
Wow.
And so from the moment that we land, we'll have presidential escort.
Oh, wow.
Anywhere we go, we'll have military with us and all that kind of stuff, making sure that we're okay and we're safe. And, I mean, I assume we're going to be good anyway, but we look forward to that. They'll go back to their countries, and they'll be able to use some of the training that we've given them, probably just to encourage them as well. One of the things that we've heard, though, is that they're saying, hey, would you send some folks over here that would speak into our lives that are not word of faith prosperity preachers?
Oh, wow.
Because they're going over in some of the same issues that we're dealing here in the States with prosperity preaching is happening there as well. Wow. Hey. You know, if you'll just believe it, you'll receive it. Or, you know, if you'll just have enough faith, then your bank account will be overflowing. And almost like God's the genie in the bottle or going to hold God hostage. Mm. And we don't believe that to be biblically correct.
Yeah.
That God does not promise that we will not live a life that is void of suffering or have to deal with difficulties. What he says is, my grace is sufficient. Even in those things, I'm still Lord of Lords. And I would say those hard times, that really increases the faith.
Yeah.
Can I trust him when I'm not healed?
Yeah.
I mean, we know healing will come to the believer one day, either here on earth or in his very presence.
All right, well, let's talk about this particular context sermon. And would you say that Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, would you say that's the one that's maybe taken out of context the most, or the most polarized, maybe?
Well, I would say taken out of context, and I would say that when Scripture's taken out of context, I don't think that folks are necessarily always doing it for personal gain or doing it in an evil manner.
Right.
I think the overarching, I can do all things through Christ, without a doubt. I mean, Jesus has no limits.
Yeah.
We have limits.
Right.
Jesus has no limits.
Right.
With him, all things are possible. I believe that so much that, you know, I've even used the illustration, and it's true. I brought the dictionary to show it. I've cut the word impossible out of my dictionary because he can do all things. If it is his plan and his will and he's working through us, then there is nothing that cannot be accomplished for his glory and for his namesake. Now, pulling this out of context is us understanding what Paul is saying as he writes this. And very seldom do you hear this put in the proper context of, hey, I can be content in bad things because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
Usually it's, hey, I can win this football game because I'm a Christ follower and it's through him. And we see the scripture reference written on the eyes or the eye black or tattooed on the arms or quoted. And again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Anything that gets people to study the Bible and read the scripture and, you know, that a sports star will sit there and talk about the relationship with Christ, those are good things.
Right.
It's just in this sermon series, well, let's look contextually at what Paul was saying
here. Yeah.
Paul, you know, it wasn't a situation that Paul was saying, oh, no, we can't do all things through Christ who strengthens us. No. I mean, Jesus even said, you remember the disciples were saying, how come we couldn't heal that guy?
Right.
And Jesus is like, well, I mean, you have the power to heal some, but the only way this came about was through prayer and fasting. Because all things are possible with God,
right?
And so we can take those, put those two together, and we can make the assessment or make the statement. Yeah, Jesus can do anything he wants to.
Yeah,
all things are possible with him. And so, contextually, Paul's saying, yeah, one of the hardest things, and some would argue. I mean, I would say this is an argument: is being content one of the hardest things I have to do?
Right. Yeah.
Could be. It could be seasonal.
Yeah.
But I would say being content, that's a hard thing, especially for Americans.
Yeah.
For what we call the culturalized Christianity?
Yeah.
The Western culturalized Christianity?
Yeah.
Being content? What? No. No, I want to improve myself. I want to get bigger and better and have more and influence and more stuff and more toys and... because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
All right, so this is maybe a philosophical question, not even in your notes, but we're just kind of here. We're going to talk about it.
We're just two guys sitting around talking
I knew it was coming.
About Sunday sermon.
So if, you know, if somebody were to listen to this sermon, like they're going to understand, yes, contentment is kind of the thing. We got to understand what it means to be content in Christ. But how do you resolve, like, I'm not content in my drive for doing what I feel God's called me to do for the church. Like, I want to continue. So I'm not going to be content in my career path, quote unquote, until, you know, I feel I'm...
Well, go ahead.
But at the same time, like, say somebody... Yeah, I know my job's a little bit different. I work for the church. But let's say somebody is out there going, hey, I'm not content in my career path. I want to continue to grow and learn and be knowledgeable, but also I've got to learn to be content where I'm at.
Well,
so how did they resolve
that? Yeah, I would say contentment is not laziness.
Okay.
The Bible tells us this, that as Christ followers, everything that we do in our life, we are to do as though we're doing it unto the Lord, which I interpret as excellence.
Yeah.
As much as depends upon me, man, I'm going to give it all that I've got. I want everything to be done to the utmost ability that I have because I'm not, you know, when I take that as, hey, this is literal. Yeah, I'm working for this company and I have this boss, but the reality is I'm not really working for this boss. I'm working for the Lord. So I want to do the very best I can. My career, yeah, I believe the Lord's led me to this career, in which I would say as a Christ follower, if you don't believe the Lord's led you to that career, you need to evaluate your career that you're in. As Christ followers, we need to seek his guidance and direction and leadership on everything that we're a part of in our lives. And so I'm going to approach everything. I'm going to do it to the very best because I'm doing it unto Jesus Christ. But everything that we do, it doesn't always end the way that we expect.
Right.
Because there are outside influences. I mean, there are some things we just have no control over.
Right.
But yet I'm going to be content in the fact, number one, I know where my hope lies. It lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that my security or my eternity is secure because of the faith that I trust that I have in Him. Whether I have a amazing, successful, and I use the word successful real loose there, because success all is really dependent upon how somebody defines success.
Yeah, it's all relative, right?
So let's say I have a successful career. I don't have a successful career. That's okay, because my life is still valuable. I'm still content. The way Paul writes it here is, hey, look, I've known what it's like not to have anything.
Right.
And I've known what it's like to have a lot.
Well, and you talk about in this contentment, you know, there is this poverty aspect of it, but there's also the prosperity aspect of it too.
And some would argue that it's easier to be content in poverty than prosperity.
Yeah.
You and I we've had these conversations about us going to, I mean, not even together, but going to third world countries and remote locations, and there being Christ followers that would live in what we would classify as unlivable housing.
Yeah.
And they only know if they're going to have something to eat the next day if the crop is produced.
Right.
And yet them being some of the most faithful, content people that you will ever meet in your life. And as you have a conversation with them, whereas we as Americans would sit there and say, oh, look at how blessed we are with all of the things that we have. They sit there and say, I don't know how you American Christians do it. Hmm. You're cursed with prosperity.
Yeah.
And so, I would have to agree, man. Maybe being content in prosperous times, because here's what, prosperity is addictive.
Yeah.
Well, you never get to the point where you're like, I've got enough.
I'm good.
I'm good. Don't need any more. Yep. No, I got to have more. And I got to have more. Because I keep believing, I'm trying to fill this hole in my heart that can only be filled by God. The Bible tells us, Ecclesiastes, eternity has been placed in our hearts by God, meaning that there's something inside of us that'll never be satisfied outside of a relationship with God. And we know the only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that very clear. So when I try to fill that with something else, and let's just talk about career or influence or relationships or goods, right? Things, money, tangible things, then I will get and I will say, oh my goodness, look at what I have. And it's filled that for a season, for a little while. Yeah. And then all of a sudden that gnawing comes back. Man, I thought that would feel that, but it didn't feel that. Oh, I know what. I got to have more of it.
Yeah.
And so I get more. I mean, clearly, it's an addiction like a drug addiction. A little bit used to fulfill that, used to give me that high, but now I've gotten accustomed to that. I'm going to have more. And that's the reason why you'll sit there and you'll see somebody who used to be a housewife or the PTA president, and now they're in jail because they've robbed the local Dollar General store because they've got to get more.
Yeah.
And you're like, what would cause them to do something like that? They're trying to fill that void that can only be filled by Christ with relationships. I mean, you'll sit there and see people, they've been married 5 or 6 times. Now, I'll admit there are some unusual extenuating circumstances in some situations.
Right.
I mean, I've had 3 wives die or, you know, whatever the case is. But there are some folks that marriage didn't work. I got to go find somebody else so they can fill that void.
Yeah.
And then they get them and they're like, man, this is great. Man, everything's a honeymoon. And then a year later, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I've fallen out of love with them.
Yeah.
And now they're even mistaking what love is with trying to fill that void. And so we can continue on. Well, the difficulty with prosperity is it requires more and more and more. And poverty many times can be as well. If I could just, I mean, poverty really, it's on the scale of prosperity. Mm. It's just the bottom level.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to hear somebody define poverty.
Yeah.
Because the Western poverty level, that would be considered prosperity in a lot of third world countries.
Yeah. But you even talk about how, you know, poverty in the right context, there is this daily dependence on God. So, I mean, I can do all things through Christ, the understanding, you know, hey, I've got to have this. I've got to be content in my daily dependence on God.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I am, I'm independent, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm self-made is usually the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, no, I don't need anything from anybody. I got it all taken care of. Well, no, the reality is if you're lost without Christ, if his grace is not in your life, you're condemned to hell. Mm. There's going to be no hope. And it's not, I'm going to go to hell for a little while.
Right.
And then figure it out. No, no, no. Once you go to hell, it's done.
Yeah.
It's forever. And so this self-made, and this is so hard for us to understand because we have been raised and we have been taught that either I'm lazy or I'm pulling myself up with my bootstraps and I'm working as hard as I can because I'm going to make something out of my life. And it's either or.
Be strong and courageous, huh?
Yeah, I don't need the government. Yeah. I don't need anybody else. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. Well, I would say this. There's nobody that can ever make that statement.
Yeah.
Because do you have any control over making sure your brain fires the way it's supposed to? You know, there are people out there, self-made people. Guess what? One stroke. And they're not self-made anymore.
Yeah.
One condition with the heart or any of those things. So, no, we're all dependent upon God.
Yeah.
There's some folks that sit there, well, you know, I was just in the right place at the right time. Well, you know, the Christ follower would never make that statement. They would sit there and say, man, God had a plan and he just pulled me in on it. So, I am in dependence with him. And so my dependence is upon God. Then I'm content in God.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work hard because I'm working for the Lord. And Paul says there'll be times where you'll have plenty.
Yeah.
But that's okay because your contentment's in the Lord. And there'll be times where you don't have much. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Your dependence is on the Lord. You know, he even says, I've known what it's like to be shipwrecked.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to be stoned and left for dead. Mm. Can I just say, I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
I got stranded in the Atlanta airport one night.
Somebody said some pretty hurtful things to me.
Somebody has said some hurtful things to me before. Yeah. That's right.
I got stranded in Little Rock one time.
Well, there you go.
That's worse than Atlanta.
Well, I'm
sorry.
Guess.
All right. Well,
yeah, maybe.
On. Sorry.
But that's okay because my defining, overarching drive. What makes me tick, what gives me hope for tomorrow, it's not stuff.
Yeah.
It's not in want. It's not in a lot. It's in the fact that nothing upon nothing in this life can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Nothing can. The relationship that I have with him. So that's where that contentment comes in. Again, I'm going to go back to what we tend to think, even as Christians in America, boy, if I could just have prosperity, then all of my problems will be gone. And then yet we can look. Have you ever seen those documentaries where they follow people after they've won the lottery?
Yeah.
And so many of them, I'm going to say a huge percentage of them, their lives are wrecked. I've even heard them sit there and say, the worst thing that ever happened to me was winning the lottery.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, that wouldn't be me.
Well, I think we've even talked about it. Like, there's been athletes, like these famous athletes, who have signed these multi-million-dollar contracts, and they're like, "There's got to be something more to this."
Well, and some of the most successful people you ever see in your life, Well, and again, we're going to go back by how we define success.
Yeah.
They take their own lives.
Yeah.
They commit suicide.
Yeah.
Because they finally get to the point to where they're like, yes.
Yeah.
This need, this emptiness will finally be met, only to realize I was sold a bill of goods. I was lied to. This does not fulfill that. The only thing that will fill that, a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I can do all things. I can be content in Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one who strengthens me. I can be content. So if we want to put it in the context of a sporting event,
yeah,
because I always found it interesting. You got a guy on a winning team, you got a guy on a losing team, yeah. and they both have Philippians 4:13
yeah.
written across their face. They both have quoted the scripture. They both love Jesus dearly. One wins, one loses.
Right.
Well, hey, for those who lose, I can do all things.
Yeah.
I can still have contentment in my life. We've lost.
Yeah.
Because winning the game doesn't give me strength.
Mm.
And I'm on top of the world. But listen, my contentment's not being on top of the world.
Yeah.
It's still in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what he is saying. I think that's the context of what we're dealing with here.
Well, and to close it out real quick, you know, one of the things that you talk about, the secret to contentment is, and I lost my page here.
Well, it's decreasing our desires rather than increasing our possessions.
And then live in Christ rather than under the circumstance. Like, so again, like, no matter what is happening, no matter what's going on, in poverty or in prosperity, like, if we are living in Christ, that's going to be that secret to contentment.
Well, without a doubt. And there are folks who talk about their happiness. I was having a conversation with a guy just this morning, and we were talking about happiness. And I'm like, understand, happiness and joy are not the same things. Happiness, the very word within itself, depends on what happens to us.
Yeah.
So I had a sorry day. Well, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Yeah.
I had a great day. Things happened today that were really good. So I'm happy. I've got joy. No, joy is this. Regardless of what happens, my joy is in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because the Lord is the same today as he was yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage our listeners, quit focusing or quit allowing the events of life to dictate who you are emotionally.
Yeah.
Mm. Instead say, hey, yeah, man, life's, you know, today wasn't a good day, and I don't want to live today again, but you know what? Jesus is on the throne. I'm still his child, and my hope still rests in him.
Yeah.
Because he's not up in heaven saying, oh, I'm so unhappy.
Yeah. Mm. Well, as always, Pastor Stephen, thank you for the truth, man. Thank you for, every sermon, every series, pointing us to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hey, we'll see you right here next time on The Unchangeable Truth.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.